who joins us. Hey, folks, John Finkelde here. Of course, Ask John Anything for December 2019, close to Christmas. We're getting close to the end of the year. I go on holidays later this afternoon, 4 weeks off, unplugged, unraveled, going into a whole zone of really relaxing for 4 weeks, which I'm looking forward to. I want to encourage you that over the last month, I've put a couple of great quick wins. I think they're great anyway, quick wins into the hub about one, maximizing your Christmas break. And so handling that little downtime between Christmas and New Year, which in the Southern Hemisphere tends to be a longer break, Northern Hemisphere, not so much, but probably a really good quick win to think about how to maximize that break there. And if you've joined us, just say hi in the comments. Let us know that you're out there and checking in. And I'm trying a whole new technology today with Facebook Live, so I hope it's working. If you can hear me okay, let me know. If you can't hear me, let me know that as well. But if you can't hear me, you won't be able to let me know, will you? Okay, there you go. I've got a contradiction right there. Also, there's a quick win in the hub that I think would be really helpful is how to get Christmas visitors returning for a second visit. And I've put a whole bundle of little ideas there. Hello. And now in the app that I'm using, it just comes up Facebook users. So feel free to tell me who you are, this new app I'm using, because I've got a special guest visitor I'm bringing in a minute. But the other quick win that I mentioned was how to get Christmas visitors returning for a second visit, because we all get visitors coming in at Christmas. How do you get them back? And there's a bundle of quick win in the quick win. There's a bundle of strategies and tactics you can use to get those visitors back. Have a look at that quick win. Audio's there, PDF you can download. Have a look at the PowerPoint slides and check it out. I think that will be helpful to you. Hi, Rosalie. Thanks for joining me and everyone who's joining us in the replay. You are going to love this. And so I've got a guest here today, Pastor Blake Moore from Church of Christ, Devonport, who I've started consulting with this year. And I'm just going to, here we go. I'm going to put Blake in. Whoops. Here we go. There we go. Blake, how you doing, mate?
Good, John. How are you, mate? Looking forward to holidays. I bet you are.
I am looking forward to holidays big time. I'm feeling the need for a lack of speed, a slowdown zone for a month. Blake, you're pastor at the Devonport Church of Christ in a beautiful area of Tasmania. And we were chatting in our last coaching session about water baptisms. And you were telling me about a tactic strategy you use to get more people water baptized. You're telling me that you'd first heard about this during a tour of churches in America. Tell me where you first heard this concept.
Well, it was probably back in 2013 through Churches of Christ. There's a leadership tour every 2 years. It's called Leadership 21, L21. And first time I went on that in 2013 was the first time that I was exposed to the concept of spontaneous baptisms.
Wow. Wow. Sounds like spontaneous combustion, but obviously a better thing than spontaneous combustion. So tell us what you heard and the kind of context that you heard it in.
I was at a church called Eastside Christian Church in Anaheim, led by Gene Apple, who used to be on staff at Willow Creek. It's a Eastside Christian Church. It's I guess it's a Church of Christ, American Church of Christ equivalent. And we went there, and it's a mega church. And we sat there through one of their Sunday morning services, and it all unfolded before us. And I can go into those details of how, but I walked away from that just being totally just floored with what I saw and the possibilities that could happen.
So tell us what you saw.
Well, Gene Apple is an amazing communicator and an amazing leader. And right from the get-go, he just really let people know that today that there's going to be spontaneous baptisms. There's going to be an opportunity for people to be baptized, to publicly declare their faith in Jesus. And he really unpacked what was going to happen. He was going to preach a sermon, and then there was going to be that public opportunity. And what I really liked, what he did, which I think was a really a masterstroke, really, was that he actually just laid it out there right from the get-go, straight out of the gate, in, I guess, the hosting, the welcome announcements time.
Yep.
Yeah, and just basically went through, he said, this is what's going to happen today. And he just went through everyone's fears. He was like addressing everyone's fears and apprehensions. It was like that he was answering their questions that they may have had in their head. I didn't bring a spare change of clothes.
Yeah, I don't major have problem if you're getting baptized.
And he said, don't worry, we've got everything. We've got all the every size of shorts, every size shirt. He said everything. We have all the coverings that you need. He was just addressing those fears that they would have.
Yeah.
And another one was, you might be here today, but your family, your friends aren't here. Don't worry, we're fully gonna. It's videotaped in HD. We'll give you a personal copy. He just went through just addressing people's fears and apprehensions. Right. And it was it was up front, right from the start, high invitation, high challenge, and this is what's going to happen. And so what it did is that people are thinking about it through as the service goes on, as he prepares, as he begins his message, as he's sharing his message. It's already that seed's been planted.
So did he actually preach on baptism or did he preach on a completely different topic?
No, he did preach on baptism.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and yeah.
What happened at the end of the preach? Did he do an altar call or how did it unfold at the end of the preach?
Oh, basically he called people publicly. And, wow. And people just flooded forward.
Wow.
And I mean, hundreds and hundreds of people.
Oh my goodness! Seriously?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So it was quite an incredible moment.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about the American church is that they really believe that God can do anything, that God can do anything, and they believe that.
Yeah.
And they practice that, and and it really it was a real formative time for my leadership in ministry, I'll be honest with you, it was.
Wow. So you see this, you're inspired, you go home. What did you do to change in your church and how did you go about that in bringing that sort of spontaneity to your baptisms in your own church?
I just did it. We just tried it. One of the things, growing up as a church, I've been in pastoral ministry for close to 23 years in Churches of Christ. And in Churches of Christ, that obviously baptism is a major part of who we are, of our movement. Adult baptism. We don't practice infant baptism. We dedicate children and we baptize adults. And so it's a huge part of who we are as Churches of Christ. And but my experiences up until then have been, people approach you and say, I've been thinking about getting baptized, or we might offer a baptism class and you get a handful of people who do that, or they just want to find out more information. Yep. And so that's been the standard. I think that's the standard sort of practice. And we wait for, the Holy Spirit to prompt and then they come to us. But, I found that, you've got to put it in front of people. It's not on people's radar.
Yeah. So did you talk to your elders and your leaders before you tried this on a Sunday? Did you kind of prep your leadership about this, or did you just kind of fly seat of your pants?
Yeah, probably a bit of both. I just really – so the big thing about this is you've got to be ready logistically and prepared with the towels.
Yep. Yep.
And that's where we're actually making, we're preparing, we're doing everything that we can on our end of the equation.
Yeah.
Then there's the other side of the equation. The most important side of the equation is the move of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And people are aware of it. I mean, a lot of our staff are helpers. And they're either in the tank or they're handing out towels and that kind of thing. But look, we just, to be honest with you, it was just, hey, let's give this a shot.
Okay. So you talked to your leaders and staff, said, look, here's what I've seen. Let's give this a go. And then, was it related around a a baptism service that you offered the spontaneous response? How did it kind of shape up in that regard?
We have at the moment, and it might change, but at the moment we offer two major opportunities in the calendar year for people to be baptized. One is Easter Sunday, which is obviously around Easter in April or March, whenever it falls. And also later in the year, October, we have what we call Baptism Sunday, which many pastors would have done before. But for us, we have two major times. But sometimes we have done, you know, summer baptisms here in Devonport where, you know, when it's summer for like 2 weeks a year. So, but it's cold.
So you did your normal build up to that, people signing up to get baptized, baptism classes, whatever. But then on the Sunday, you went for the spontaneous crew as well.
Yeah, always. With youth, I know our youth pastor, Ian Anderson, will offer a baptism course for young people. So it's not like we don't do that.
Yeah, sure.
But I was really challenged with the fact that, when you read the scriptures, there's, I don't have too many baptism classes going on. It was confess faith in Christ and be baptized. Yep. The early church did it. That's how they practiced it. And that's how the New Testament teaches it from my perspective.
Yep. So talk me through a baptism Sunday. What do you preach on? How do you do the offering the clothes thing? How do you do the call for people to be spontaneously baptized? Talk me through how you run that.
Yeah, well, obviously coming out of a Resurrection Sunday message is quite easy. On Baptism Sunday, this year was a bit different, but in previous years it is just a full-blown message on baptism. There's just the teaching that we'll teach on baptism. Sometimes it might have been Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, or just a passage of scripture from Romans, or and so there's the teaching of that, and then I shift into the call. With a whole different. It's quite. High challenge, high invitation, people, where people can, where people can really say, this is a public baptism. This is, if you can't, but I've said things like, if you can't get, wet for Jesus here, you can do this as a safe environment. Things like, If you acknowledge Jesus before men, he'll acknowledge you before the Father.
You put a pretty strong call out there and challenge to people to step up into it. So do you hold up the extra change of clothes sort of thing, or do you just refer to them, or do you actually show people we've got this ready?
We have done that before, yes. My wife has done that time before in the welcome announcements time.
So you actually would hold up a t-shirt or a pair of shorts or
we use the color black for obvious reasons.
Okay, sure. Yeah, totally. We all look better in black.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like that you actually physically show people, hey, we've got t-shirts and shorts and we're ready to go. So the people are made to feel more safe and secure about the fact, you got a double X, I'd be a big boy. I'd be looking for a double XL black t-shirt. I don't want to put on a small t-shirt and have every bump and lump showing. I want to feel comfortable about being that vulnerable. So I love the fact that you're doing the physical.
That's what it's all about,
Do you, at the end, do you ask people to come forward in response or put their hand up or go to the back, or how do you do that?
No, don't go to the back. I'm a bit old school. Jesus called people publicly, and it's public. It's a public declaration, and so it's just, look, people just come forward. The worship team will play a song, and it's just like a normal altar call, really, where people just come forward, and it is. We've been doing it since 2014, really. Wow. And Yeah, and I think we're up, I don't know, 60-something baptisms in that time. And I tell you, John, God has never, ever let us down. He has always, just when I think, oh, you know, you want to, might, you know, the human side, you know, then I don't think we're going to get people to respond today. Yep. He just continually surprises us. In fact, in that time, like in October, the month of October, just gone this past October, we baptized 10 people in one Sunday service.
Yep.
Three of those people were planned, and some of them were young people, as I stated before. Seven of them were spontaneous on the spot.
Wow. So 70% of your October baptisms were spontaneous, 7 out of 10.
That's correct.
Is that been your general experience, or has it been lower percentages, you know, without getting too pedantic about the numbers?
To be honest, it's the general experience. You know, saying to the staff at the time, you know, God always just seems to surprise. Look, it's just putting it before people. As I said, it's, you know, even people who maybe have not, maybe they've grown up in a different tradition, or they were sprinkled as a child or something like that. You know, it's not on their radar. You've got to teach them what our perspective is, that Jesus modeled baptism. He was God. He didn't have to get baptized.
Yeah.
He was without sin, and he left, you know, the New Testament practiced it. The New Testament preaches it. And just a reminder for that for people, and the Holy Spirit just works with that, and we get response, you know.
It's awesome. So you really, in the last 5 years, you really have doubled the number of baptisms you would have had, more than likely. I mean, it's possible some of those spontaneous ones would have come through the old system, the old routine anyway.
Absolutely.
But you've pretty well doubled your number of baptisms over the last 5 years by doing that spontaneous call, well structured, well thought through. It's not just, hey, get baptized now, then scramble around to find some clothes. You're already well prepared for it. That's remarkable, Blake. That's encouraging.
It is, and I just would say to people watching today that, and you know, this is, you know, I traveled to India earlier this year in Indonesia trip, and I think pastors need to know that the same Holy Spirit that moves in, you know, those big churches, mega churches that we see, and even overseas in some of the, you know, eastern countries, God is the same Spirit, and you've got to build your faith. You've got to build your faith. I've just got written down here, you've got to be expectant, John.
Yeah,
you've got to be expectant that the Holy Spirit's going to do something. You've got to build your faith.
Yeah. So you actually come to the service, and I probably need to tell people also, to give you a context of the numbers. Blake's church, in terms of total active membership, if you like, is about 300, 350 in that sort of zone. So that gives you a bit of context for the numbers, in case you're thinking, oh, 10 people, that's huge, too much for me. But they give you a bit of a context. But I think you're right, Blake. I think you come into the Sunday. I know you've said this before, that you come with an expectation and a faith that there are going to be people there who have not been baptized in water, haven't been immersed, and they're going to respond. So I think that's a great positioning, heart-wise and spirit-wise, for pastors to take on board. I love what you're doing here, man. We've got a question here from Simon. Do you know how often in a year Gene Apple made that spontaneous baptism thing available?
No, I don't, because we were only... I've been to the church twice, in 2013 and 2017, and I don't know that. I know that I do know. I follow the church there and Gene's ministry, but it is an annual. It's at least an annual thing. I know that for absolutely sure. Yeah.
Awesome. And you're doing it at the moment twice a year, which I really like churches structuring their baptism services, because they're brilliant opportunities to invite family and friends. They're always a well-attended service. You tend to get a bump, especially in non-Christians attending, but also your church tends to rally to them, because there are significant discipleship moments. I love the fact you're structuring that into your whole annual year.
We've had absolute miracles. I mean, every baptism is a miracle, but we've had incredible miracles of in these moments of wives praying for their husbands to come to Christ, and the husband gets baptized. Young people being baptized who have had a very difficult life and have come to Jesus. That's why I say it's anything's possible with God.
That's awesome. Totally true. Now, folks, just I'm trying new software with this Facebook Live. So when you make a comment, I actually don't know. It just comes up and says Facebook user, which is not really particularly helpful. But someone's just mentioned that the great topic, we have baptisms on Sunday. So there you go. Go out and buy some shorts and T-shirts and maybe trial this next Sunday. Let us know how you go with that. I think it's definitely worth trying. Also, can I ask you, Blake, I can imagine some Christians would say, but hang on, they haven't done a baptism course or a baptism class.
Yes.
How do you overcome that particular objection? And before you answer, folks, if you've got any questions you'd like to throw at Blake, just jump on into the comments, throw a question at us around this topic. And if you want to go off topic, I'll cover that a bit later. But throw any questions you've got around this topic if you want to hit Blake up with some questions. So that objection of they haven't done a baptism course, how do you handle that?
Look, as I said, we still try and do that with young people if we can. So it's not like we don't do it at all. I've to be quite honest with you, I struggled with that as well.
Yeah.
But then I guess when I do the delivery, I mean, when I do, the delivery, and what I mean by that, when I preach God's word on those Sundays, they're sitting in. I said in October, I'm answering people's questions that they've got in their head. Yep. Well, what happens if I haven't done a baptism course? And I said, well, you just had one. The last 20 years have been one. You've been sitting in one. You know, we think that some of people have got to do a 6-week baptism course. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that.
Yep.
I'm just saying that, mate, I just think that, in Churches of Christ, my experience has been just at the coalface with average Joe Blow and that sometimes people think that baptism is a higher level of spirituality. That's for the super Christians. That's for people who are really connected with God to get baptized. Wow. But it's not. It's not. It's in the early church, people confessed faith in Jesus Christ and then they were publicly baptized.
Yep. I'm with you. I think the twofold, I totally agree with it. I think that if you're preaching baptism, people get baptized. They've already had their baptism course. And let's face it, who really totally understands what baptism is when you get baptized anyway? Surely you unpack that over the course of your Christian
life. We make it very clear that this is just one step in your discipleship journey. You haven't arrived. Yep. It's begun. And we make it very clear with that. And look, there might be over those years, there might have been one or two people that looking back now would have went, maybe, maybe not. Sure. But you know what? When someone stands before a congregation and confesses faith in Jesus and generally, and from it genuinely means it, who am I? Who am I to say no? We use discretion, but look, I think we're judged by the fruit of what's happened over the past 5 years.
I'm with you. Okay, Seth Brooks. Oh, Seth, you're having the baptism this Sunday in Portland, Oregon, in the States. Great. Let us know how it goes. Seth, I hope this inspires you to take that plunge. Someone's asked a question here. I have a person who wants to be baptized again, because her family are in town this time, whereas they weren't when she was baptized 6 months ago. Oh, Blake, should I be accommodating, they are asking. What would you do, sir?
Oh, great.
Question on the run.
What would I do? I'm not sure about that. What's the reason?
Her family's in town this time. They weren't in town 6 months ago.
Yeah, they should have videotaped it.
I'd
probably, for that reason, I'd probably say no. I'd probably, yeah.
I'd totally with you. I would say, this is not a kind of family reunion show sort of thing where you've been baptized, that's good enough. And if you haven't got a record of it, well, sorry, just tell your family.
And that's why it's important to have people taking photos and, video as well. And that was one thing that Gene Apple said, you know. If you've got apprehensions, your friend's not here, your mum and dad's not here, your grandma or whatever it is, don't worry. We will give you a personal copy for them, and like you can sit and enjoy it in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'd probably say no, not I wouldn't be doing that. No.
I'd be a no as well. And also, if someone's comfortable, they want to, they could Facebook Live. They're part of the baptism. Yeah. That not everybody's sure. Obviously, but that's to privacy issues. But if they want to be putting it out to the world, you know, get a friend to hold your phone and Facebook Live it out to the world. Let people around the globe watch. Your friends could watch wherever they are. You're getting baptized. I mean, that's the beauty of the internet today. So great questions. Folks, if you've got any more questions, pile on now because I'm going to wrap this up in a little bit. And Blake, when I talked to you during one of our recent coaching sessions, I was just so inspired by what you're doing. And the fact you've been doing it for 5 years, I look back on my years of pastoring, and I've got a big regret now. I should have done more spontaneous baptisms. So I reckon out of pastors watching this in the hub over the next number of months even, I think more people are going to end up getting up baptized because they're now, I think, both in kind of a bit more knowledge and a bit more wisdom, also inspired and encouraged. So, it's awesome what you're doing, my friend. Awesome.
I just think, John, if people don't if you don't focus on it as a pastor, as a leader, then you know you've just got to keep putting it in front of people. I think that's really, really like everything in church life, but I think it's really important.
I think you're right, and I do say to pastors, have a look at your, you know, depends what age you're comfortable to baptize with, but have a look at your 10, 11, 12 year olds in your children's church ministry. And in the teenagers and youth ministry, you do have candidates right under your nose that you don't need to go out into the community to reach. They're right there already under your nose. Set up a pathway for them to be baptized. You'll be amazed if you do that every year. You'll be baptizing people every year just by those who are growing up in the church, and then throw on the spontaneous baptisms with the black T-shirts and the black shorts and... My goodness. And I guess, do you send people home with their new black T-shirts and shorts? Do they keep those as a memento?
We probably should do that. No, we have someone who piles them all up and takes them home and washes them.
Yeah, cool. Maybe put a logo on them and a bit of a nice kind of groovy sort of thing on them that they'll wear them again.
A lot of churches do that. They put, you know, I have decided or whatever it is. It's, we learnt this last time. We just need to make sure we've got plenty of the right sizes. So you just got to logistically be prepared like that way.
Yeah, I think that's the challenge of it, but it gives you another chance to kind of design even a T-shirt that people want to wear around town that kind of gives a little message but promotes the church as well. Awesome. Well, okay, got another question. Oh, here we go. We've got a couple more questions. Simon, again, we started making intentional inviting baptisms every 2 months. I guess I guess you mean 2 months in your church calendar, Simon. We also invite spontaneous on the day, outline 5 key points before the baptism segments. Awesome. Could improve preparation, communication with youth and children. Thanks for the encouragement. Well done, Simon. You're already onto it and into it. Simon, I need to know, do you offer black T-shirts and shorts with logos on or no logos? I need to know that. Let us know in the comments. I think that youth and children's thing can get easily missed for pastors. Is there any reason you would say, this is someone else, any reason you would say no to baptizing someone who says they want to be baptized? Or is there reason to make people wait who have made a confession of faith? So I'll read that again, Blake. You can have a crack at this one. I will too. But is there any reason you would say no to baptizing someone who says they want to be baptized? Is there reason to make people wait who have made a confession of faith? Do you have any sort of hurdles that you think, gee, no, I think we'll put pause on this?
I think we, because as I stated earlier that, especially in our movement, Churches of Christ, we dedicate children and we baptize adults, I have to have my kids pastor check this, but I'm pretty sure it's grade five and up is grade five's probably the
10 years old
as low as we would go. That's right.
And
that would be in conversation with their parents as well.
Sure, totally. Yep.
Yeah, we would do that. Would I say no? Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. There have been times when we've actually said, look, just wait. We're just discerning that we don't think it's the right time. And a lot of that, and that has been with people who have wanted to do it, you know, not spontaneous, but people who have been asking to be baptized.
Yeah.
However, I wouldn't hesitate if I felt there were good enough reasons and it was obvious on a spontaneous time, I probably would have a conversation with them. We have a bit of a chaotic time. Our worship team has to probably sometimes play two songs for get everyone ready to come back out.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but there's something so good about that as well. And hardly anyone leaves. There are times when we would say, look, we would just like you to wait. Particularly like if we got they're just doing it because their friend's getting it done or the friend's getting baptized. There are times, there are times when we say no. So I know that sort of goes against what I said before, but, yeah, we try and hold everything in balance, I guess. Yeah.
I generally, the only probably area where I'd say no would be generally with a child. Someone under 15, just to put a little bit of a roadblock and say, look, not this baptism. I think we need to wait for the next one just to sort out that I'm doing it because my friend's doing it, or I've got peer pressure, or I just mum and dad want me to. Or I think holding a child or a young teen back for 6 months, I don't think is a bad thing at all.
No.
I think an adult, generally, I wouldn't hold back unless it was something of a mental health scenario that was really messing with the person in regards to that. But generally with an adult, even an adult who's got addiction problems, sin problems, I go, baptism is only going to help you break through those areas. You don't have to reach a level of righteousness to be baptized.
No.
I think you can get help by that. So good answer. Yeah. Well done. is cold water essential to a more authentic baptism? I don't know who's saying that, but that's quite funny. Yes, absolutely. Throw ice blocks in there, really test their commitment. I'm kidding there. That's just, I wouldn't care what temperature the water is anyway. Tasmania in the ocean would be fairly cool, I would imagine. It's quite cold water essential for an authentic baptism experience. No. Keep it warm. Warm it up if you can. Simon says, no, we haven't offered clothes yet. So Simon's onto it. I think Simon's getting some black T-shirts going. Statement and logos level above that. Okay, Simon, I think, Simon, I feel, Blake, there's a little bit of a challenge there from Simon Risson in Horsham. He's running a bit of a gauntlet there for you. Who's going to be the first one with logos on the T-shirt?
I had a feeling it might have been Simon Risson from Horsham.
He'll be. I think there's a bit of a race on here to get the logo T-shirts done and out there on the internet.
No, he's a good man. He's a good man. He'll do well. That's a good
man. He is a good man. So I'll leave it for you guys to. It'll be a race to the logo T-shirt. See who comes up trumps on that one. I think I like the idea of someone going home with their T-shirt and. Might be just a sloppy Joe you wear around the house, but if it fits good and it's nice design, they could wear it around the place and good conversation started. What's that? I've decided. What did you decide?
Yeah.
Well, I wore this when I got baptized at church. Great conversation started. I think it's something there. Anyway, I think we've run out of questions. Blake, Love the fact that you've been able to get on Ask John Anything. This has been Ask John and Blake Anything today. I think this has been so helpful. And I know on the replay, bundles of people will watch the replay as well. I think be inspired by this. And I'll probably give it in the new year. I know it's December. I'll just give this little video a little bit more juice in the hub, because I think this will really help churches baptize more people, which I think is what we're chasing, surely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, Blake. Have a fabulous Christmas, my friend.
You too. Enjoy your holiday break, mate.
I'll be enjoying my holiday. And folks, thanks for joining us, Ask John Anything, December. I'll be back in January. It'll be the second Wednesday in January, because I think the first Wednesday in January is like the 1st of January or something crazy like that. I'm not doing an Ask John Anything on the 1st of January. That ain't happening. But the second week of January, I'll be back for another year of In the Hub with all you guys. So thanks for joining us. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.